here we are, folks. It's been a while, but we're back on the saddle for episode 16. And since we've been away, it's been our birthday. We are 2 years old. Can you believe that, Matt?
I feel 2 years older. I feel a bit more than 2 years older, really.
Yes, we won't say why today, shall we?
No, not feeling well today, listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm here anyway.
I've been getting the skinny on it, too.
Dedication for you.
I know. There you go, you see. Married to the job. Right, I think we'll just kick off, really.
Let's do it.
This week, our first track comes from a game I'm currently playing, and it is, I'm not going to lie, arse-achingly hard. But with it, it's great fun. Game itself is Hotline Miami. I don't know why. I was looking at it before, and I thought, not really my kind of thing. And then suddenly I kind of went, ooh, that looks good. Complete change of mind. And lo and behold, it's amazing. What do you think, Matt?
I have not played it yet.
Oh.
I have it. I bought it on a Humble Bundle deal. But I just haven't played it yet. I've not been playing much in the way of games lately. I've been busy doing other things and real life getting in the way. So I haven't actually done an awful lot of game playing lately. But
well, that's
yeah, it's on the list of things to do if ever I
get any time to do anything.
I will if I get like a week off at some point later in the year or something where I'm not got anything on, I will probably sit and plough through a bunch of stuff, and that's definitely on the list of things to do.
Oh, it's brilliant. But this one is my favourite, without a doubt, by Moon, or M.O.O.N, and it's called Hydrogen. It's great. I can hear it in my head now. It's just marvellous. I love the soundtrack. This particularly is real kind of dance theme to it, which is really enjoyable, actually. Anyway, here is Hydrogen from Hotline Miami.
Return to the show for the wonderful Grant Kirkhope, whose music has appeared on the show many times and has himself appeared on the show as a guest. This is from Kingdoms of Amalur, a game that was released 2011, I believe, 2011. It's a big sort of open world fantasy RPG, which to me, in my uneducated mind, looks a lot like World of Warcraft, but plays a bit more, a little bit more like Fable in some ways, with the way the combat works, I guess.
Mm.
Did you play this?
No, it was on PS Plus recently, and I never did. I just think it, for me, would be a massive time sink. And
I get the feeling if it's the kind of game there's a lot of it to play. Yeah, be a bit like Fable 2 or Skyrim or one of the Elder Scrolls game or something. There's a lot there if you want to do that. I haven't played the actual. I played the demo when it first came out, and I was intrigued, and never did get around to picking it up. And then it came out on PS Plus. Again, I've not picked this up because, you know, time sync is not really fitting into my my lifestyle at the moment. So games that I can sort of pick up and play for sort of 10-20 minutes at a time appeals to me much more than something like this. But again,
exactly.
You know, when you get to Christmas holidays and stuff, I've got plenty of time. This may be something I'll play sort of in that time off over Christmas. Or I don't know, maybe I'll get my gaming mojo back and I'll just throw an entire weekend at it. I do want to give it a play. It does look very interesting. It didn't do fantastically well commercially, I don't believe. The studio that released it
massively good reviews.
It got some pretty good reviews, yeah. It got some pretty solid reviews, but I think it was up against things like Skyrim. People were naturally kind of comparing the two. I don't know. Let me just check when this came out. I don't think this came out at the same time as Skyrim particularly, but it's the kind of thing it was up against, and I don't know really how well it's going to hold up against something like Skyrim or one of the other big RPGs, Dragon's Age and Dragon's Age 2 and a whole bunch of stuff that kind of fits into the same pigeonhole. Actually, it was 2012, February 2012, so it was a little bit later than I thought. So it came out after Skyrim, so not a couple of months, 3 months after Skyrim, so it was probably still competing with that to a certain extent. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it looked pretty cool, and I enjoyed what I played of the demo. So it was something I'll go back to. But anyway, that's by the by. We're here to play the music. So this
and the soundtrack itself, while I've not played the game, the soundtrack itself is great.
Well, it's Grant Kirkhope. He's bound to be pretty good, let's be honest. The man doesn't really do rubbish. He tends to do excellent instead. Having not played the game, I haven't picked out anything other than the main theme, because that's the one that's got its own most personality of its own a lot of the time from a game soundtrack. Whereas some of the other things, because they're kind of tied into something like this, are often tied into the narrative and they have a particular place in the narrative that they don't perhaps mean quite. They don't sort of stick out quite as much on first listen. But this is the main theme from Kingdoms of Amalur by Grant Kirkhope.
So that was the lovely Grant with Kingdoms of Amalur. And now we've got an unusual one, I think. It's Dear Esther, basically, by Jessica Curry. Dear Esther has been, when it came out, it got quite a number of good reviews. But people saying it's a game, but it's not a game. Very strange.
Yeah, there was a lot of buzz about it. There was a lot of hype about it.
I don't know whether it's really my kind of thing. I'll give it a go, I think, definitely.
Yeah, it's a desktop only, really. It's PC, Mac and Linux, I believe. It's not out on
yeah,
anything else. So I don't think it'll have a problem running on my computer because it's, I think it's a Source Engine based game, and that should run okay. But yeah, I mean, if it's PC only, my computer running is always going to be a bit of an issue. I haven't played it yet, largely because of that. But it's interesting, and I would like to sort of dip my toe. But whether it's my thing, it's not a game exactly because you're just kind of walking around, and I don't know, you don't have an awful lot of input, I believe, as I've been told. So I'm not sure. That's the kind of thing, I've got a fairly short attention, so I need to be doing something in a game. So if it's basically one long cutscene, I may well get a bit too bored, being being effectively a child in a man's body. I can't focus on something.
I know, it's ADHD again, isn't it? Rearing its ugly head.
Yeah. I don't know, though. It certainly sounds interesting. I heard a lot of people say it's very good. Well, yeah, the status of it being a game or not is fairly irrelevant. A lot of people have recommended it, so it's something I may well have to try at some point.
Yeah. Definitely. Mm. But saying that, the soundtrack by Jessica Curry is marvellous. Mm. Really is marvellous. And this is one of my favourites. So, this is Jessica Curry with Dear Esther. So yeah, there we had Dear Esther by Jessica Curry. Now, this is one of yours, isn't it, Matt?
Mm-hmm.
This next one?
Yes, it is, yes. This is from a game that has had, again, quite a lot of hype around it. It's been very hotly anticipated from the makers of the Uncharted series. This is from The Last of Us. It's the main theme by Gustavo Santaolalla. I haven't played The Last of Us yet. It's on my list of things I'm definitely interested in, but I haven't actually picked it up yet. I've just kind of checked out the soundtrack because I know it's, a lot of people will have played it, and I've heard good things about the soundtrack, so I just kind of went with this because it is indeed very good. This is the main theme. Again, haven't played the game, so I didn't want to delve too deeply into the rest of the soundtrack in case there's it's a mild chance, but any kind of spoilers involved in track titles and so forth, like there can be with like Mass Effect 2, I think, had some major spoilers just in the track titles. So I've just kind of plumped for the main theme at this point. But when I do, well, either one of us or both of us do get around to playing it, we'll or may well come back to this because it's a really cool soundtrack. I really like it. Actually, it's very appealing.
Yes,
very appealing.
I think for me, The Last of Us really appeals to me. I'm waiting to borrow it from a friend. Genuinely, it's one of the things I've been looking forward to for quite a while. I'd be interested to see how this sort of, you know, the way you've got the young girl with you. It'd be interesting to see how that works out in relation to sort of how it worked out in Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah, exactly. I guess that's possibly why I wasn't more keen to play it because the relationship between those two characters is at the very, very core of the game, I'm given to understand. Mm. And with Bioshock Infinite, I enjoyed the game very much, and I liked Elizabeth, and I liked how she was implemented in the game, but it didn't really feel a lot of the time like a really close relationship outside of the cutscenes, because basically she'd just go and hide while you shot everybody, and then she'd come back again. Really, there's little bits of interaction, but it wasn't really, gameplay wise, it wasn't a particularly close connection there, I didn't find. And The Last of Us seems, from what I've heard, kind of depends on that for its appeal. And
saying that, I
somehow that in my head kind of translated to me going, oh, I'll just come back to that one. And I really don't know why, because I've heard nothing but good things about it. I've heard literally, I don't know anyone that's played it that hasn't liked it. Some people have loved it, some people have only liked it, but everyone has liked it that I know.
Yeah.
And yeah, I really
do
want to.
All I keep hearing is about the opening sequence, something. Everyone's like, oh my god, that was amazing.
Yeah, and amazingly, everyone's been really good with spoilers, but everyone's been right, but I'm not going to say anything. It's just amazing, get it played, and I've not had anyone spoil it for me, which is kind of nice.
Yeah,
so
not a clue.
Not even by mistake.
So congratulations, folks.
Yes, well done. Well done, gamers. You're awesome.
Yes. I've been looking through the running list for this show, and I've noticed that there's quite a number of them that are just called main theme, you know?
Yes, I don't know. I suppose by calling it the main theme, you're basically just calling it Kingdoms of Amalur or The Last of Us or whatever. It's just the same as calling it by the title of the game, I guess.
Yeah,
but
just,
I suppose it gets to the point, doesn't it, really? It's the main theme. Everyone knows it's the main theme. And
yeah. I mean, I suppose... And you're very right in what you said about spoilers in the titles. You know, I was researching one of the other tracks that were coming up, and there was a massive list of all the track titles. And as I'm flicking through them, you can very much see that there are plot points. And I was like, no, different, you know, I just closed it down. I'm not ruining it for me.
Mm.
But I'll explain about that in it when we get to it. So, because I've quite a lot to say on it. So this is the main theme from The Last of Us. So that was The Last of Us. Now, here comes a bit of a divisive one, really. I'm playing through this at the moment, which is Dead Space 3. You know, Dead Space 1, 2, and 3, great soundtracks. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Graves and James Hannigan have done Dead Space 3. Dead Space 1 and 2, the games, I absolutely loved. Dead Space was a game where I actually had to stop playing for at least a month. because I was so terrified. Playing with headphones in the dark, just poopy pants, to say the least. Absolutely amazing. Atmospherics, soundtrack, the lot. Dead Space 2 was a bit of a step up, and obviously it had the multiplayer attached on the side, which was, to be fair, a bit rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
But Dead Space 3, my God, it is a treat on the eyeballs, but it just doesn't play like Dead Space anymore.
I haven't yet played it. Dead Space, I loved the first game. I was lent it by a friend. It was kind of I'd played the demo. I think I've spoken about this before. I've played the demo and I really didn't like it. And then a friend of mine said, yeah, play the game. Honestly, here's the game. Play it. The demo's really a rubbish demo.
Pam.
And it was awful. What a way to screw up a demo, people. Because it just isn't representative of the game at all. It doesn't give you any of the... It just gives you the basic hardcore combat. And that's not what the game is about. It's not about just shooting everything in sight, really.
No.
Certain bits it is, but it's not the core of the game. I love Dead Space. I really, really enjoyed that game. I threw myself into it and was, you know, it was something I was playing every possible opportunity. Space 2, I haven't got that. I played some of it and got so far, and then I went back and played some more and got so far. And I don't know what it was about it. It just didn't quite grab me the same way. Whether it's just because Dead Space was a one-off for me, and you know, I really got that one really engaged with me, and Dead Space 2 is perhaps just a bit too similar, and it's not really my kind of game. I don't know. I can't really. I can't explain why. It's for some reason, I just wasn't driven to keep playing it like I was with the first game. And so obviously, I haven't finished the second one, so I've not gone into the third one yet. But I will get back and do it.
I love two. Dead Space 3, it's just going through the motions now. You know when you're going to get attacked. You know when you're going to get, you know, jumped on. You know when something's going to, you know, hit the fan. You know, it's quite obvious in parts. Oh look, there's a bit something to hide behind. That means you're going to have to crouch there because there's going to be enemies coming.
Mm.
And you can roll. It's not Gears of War, people. It feels like Gears of War Dead Space, and it's a bit disappointing because it looks incredible. It really does. But again, the music and the sound for it, top notch. You cannot go wrong with Dead Space for music and sound.
No, very good, very good.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's nice to see that finally in Dead Space 3 they've discovered colour. You know, Dead Space, obviously it was on the Ishimura, it was blacker than black. Black and green. Dead Space 2 was a bit blue. Dead Space 3, it's all of the colours. You know? I mean, I'm going to finish it because it's Dead Space and I feel I have to. And I want to, actually, just to see where it's going to go. But it just doesn't feel like Dead Space anymore. So if and when they bring out another Dead Space, please bring it back to what it was, or change it up so that it's not what it is right now, if you get what I mean. And then just do something different. Don't have it where I can guess where I'm going to get ambushed, or I can guess where I'm going to get somebody jumping out of a wall at me, or I can guess when the human bodies are going to turn into...
Mm. Yeah, that's perhaps one of the things I had with Dead Space 2 is that having played the first one through, it does hit the same beats and with the first one there was it was trying to play around with that, and there'd be points at which you'd go like dunna, dunna, and you creep through and you go through again, something's going to jump out of that panel there. Oh no, it didn't. And then you go in a corner and something tries to take your face off, and it wasn't just you think something's going to come through. And Dead Space 2 was a little bit more like that. It was like there was a lot of pretty much everything that something could come through, it seemed it did come through, you know. Something came through every panel that looked like, and every doorway and every room you went into seemed to have something in there that you had to kill or was trying to kill you or whatever. And Dead Space didn't. It had lots of a little bit more exploration, just areas that you could just look around, and you're always a bit worried that there was gonna be, but they weren't always. So every time you went into a room you didn't know whether an empty room was really empty, and also the setting of the first one, the Ishimura, I felt like I kind of was going up and down and around, and with the sprawl on the second one I didn't feel that quite that same sense of location and knowing that I was moving through, because it didn't have the same layout and so forth. I'm not sure, but
and Dead Space 3 gets rid of that completely.
It's set on a planet, isn't it? It's just set on the surface in normal buildings.
No, you start off in a ship and you're moving over to other ships and you're checking this out, other out.
Oh, okay.
And there's, you know, optional side quests and.
On paper that sounds pretty good, but you know, obviously it's all about the execution.
We're not going to
slag off. That's not what we're here for. We're not here to slag off Dead Space.
No,
3.
No. I just think it's so unfortunate.
Yeah,
but
anyway,
you know, this is a broken past from Dead Space 3 by James Hannigan.
This is by James Hannigan again. This is from RuneScape 3, a game I have no experience with. RuneScape is a MMORPG, a game type I've got no experience with, and daren't try for fear of dying in my my computer. I suspect I would get heavily addicted to playing an MMORPG, so I haven't done. But this is RuneScape, which is nice, accessible. It's a browser-based RPG, so it's really accessible, because obviously anyone can play it. It's now on the third iteration, which was released 22nd of July. It was released, and this is Village Life, which I don't know anything about it.
I think for me, things like MMORPGs just don't blow my skirt up.
They would blow my skirt far too far up. I think I would. From what I know of what I've read and what people have told me, I would get heavily into this. I really can't afford the time.
We would never see you again.
No. Well, I kind of get obsessed about things anyway. If I really get into a game, I do nothing but play that game. I can't sort of then just drop it and go and play something else. And I don't tend to watch movies or TV or read. If I can be playing a game. So if it's a game that never ends, that can never end, I daren't. And eventually I'd end up at World of Warcraft, and then I'd be completely stuffed. So yeah, basically it's a self-preservation on my part why I have not played this. But again, from what I know, it's fairly standard MMO stuff. There's PvP and PvE and all the rest of it. So I don't think it does anything groundbreaking in terms of what an MMORPG can do. But as I say, I've been told it's very accessible, and it seems very popular. Certainly, there's a lot of people.
People go mad for it.
Yeah, it's very popular, I think. Yeah.
This is Village Life by James Hannigan. So, now, here is one of mine, and to be honest, I have been caning this week. I love it. It's a game I've been meaning to try for ages and ages and ages, and never got around to it, and then it came out on the cheap. You know, I bought it for a tenner, and oh my days, why didn't I play this before? It's Skyward Sword, Zelda. Koji Kondo has knocked it out of the park on this one, because this is the first Zelda that's been orchestrated, and my days, I love this game. I'm on the second, what you call it, dungeon. And it's just got better and better and better. And I'm only on the second dungeon, and I'm about 15, 16 hours in. It's so good. You know, I think it's, so far, one of my favourites. Link to the Past is up there. Obviously, Wind Waker, and then now this. So, they're kind of interchangeable at times. But I love the Zelda world, stories, just marvellous. And for me, having the soundtrack orchestrated for the first time has really made it stand out. It's just, honestly, genuinely, one of the nicest things I've heard in years. It's got such heart and soul in it. Zelda fan?
I've only played the one Zelda game, to be honest, which is the one on the Game Boy, the only one to not feature Zelda, as it happens. I can't say it's a series that's ever particularly appealed to me. I've never been a big Nintendo gamer, largely. I mean, I had a Super Nintendo and a Game Boy, but I've I've just never had Nintendo consoles. So, but anyway, there was a long time where I wasn't really a gamer at all, don't forget. So a lot of the Zelda games were in that period. I've borrowed a Wii off someone, actually, which was to play... Mm. Ultimately to play Super Mario Galaxy and a few of the classics, so maybe I'll pick up Skyward Sword, but I don't know, I can't say why, but it's not a game that really particularly appeals to me. I'm not sure why.
It's just, for me, it's marvellous. I can't just, oh, great. Anyway, this is one of my favourites from the game. It is the Crimson Loftwing. Basically, you have a bird that you fly on, and this is the music that you get when you fly on that bird. I love it. Just love it, love it, love it. It's so cheery. Anyway, this is Crimson Loftwing by Koji Kondo.
Another main theme this time, but one from a game I've actually played for a change. This is...
Hey.
I know. I do play video games occasionally, people. Not often, but sometimes. This is Injustice, Gods Among Us, which is the recent 2D fighting game featuring a number of people from the DC Comics universe. A universe which I've been immersing myself in lately. It's by Dean Grinsfelder. Have you played Injustice at all, Pete?
No, see...
Not your thing?
Really not my thing. Fighting games just don't do it for me.
Yeah, to be honest, if it wasn't for the DC connection, I wouldn't have bothered with this, I'll be honest. I don't mind fighting games,
great,
but they're not something I'm really going to spend a lot of time with, because generally speaking, my good memories of fighting games is playing games against the people. I don't really have anyone to play. You know, it's a kind of couch-based thing for me.
Yeah.
And so it's not something I've not bothered with Mortal Kombat or any of the Tekkens for a long time, but this one with the,
no,
with the
I get
to kick Superman in the face as Batgirl. What's not to like, you know? I can. It's just cool, and it's that connection for me that did it. But I mean, that's it is inherently a good there, game. It's sense. A good fighting game. There's a lot of interesting stuff in there. But yeah, if it's not your thing, then if fighting games and comics aren't your thing, this probably isn't really going to be up your street, to be honest. But it's I'm enjoying it. The single player campaign is a little bit different to most fighting games in that you switch between characters as the story progresses. So you don't just have like one story and then like fight all the way through and then have an ending per character like a lot of games do. It's one story that you play all the way through, which gives it a bit more depth than a lot of fighting game stories have.
That's quite clever, actually.
Sorry?
That's quite clever. Mm,
yeah, it just gives it a little bit, because a few of the fighting games I have played in the last few years have been, in terms of the story, quite shallow. It's basically been a fighting tournament of some kind, and they're trying to win because their mum's sick, or they're getting vengeance for their dad, or this or that. Yeah. And it's just that end.
You killed
that
my
really,
sister.
Yeah, it's just that ending that really gives you, like Street Fighter 2. It was exactly the same game all the way through, apart from the end. Yeah. You know, that changed different depending on which character you finished it with. And this one does it has a bit of a deeper story. I mean, it's not the deepest, most awesome plot in the world, but it's a bit more than just your average fighting game. So, yep. But again, main theme to this one, boring name, but it's a decent bit of music. It's by Dean Grinsfelder.
Now we have another one that I'm currently playing. I tend to play a lot of games. I'm like juggling lots of plates. It's kind of satisfying. This one is New Super Mario Bros. U on the Wii U. It is the first HD Mario. It's 2.5D. It's great, but my good God, is it hard. That game will hand you your backside any day. It's like a cute Dark Souls, almost. But it's brilliant. Another one of the standout games on Wii U, which I think has unfairly been getting a bit of a drubbing over the last year. People moaning that there's not enough games, and actually there's loads, and you can also play your Wii games on it. Not backwards compatible for GameCube though, but great all the same. Love the gamepad, love the machine, everything. This is Superstar Road by Shio Fuji and Mahito Yokota. It's Mario, you know, it's got the same kind of themes running through it, that, you know, instantly recognisable, slightly changed bits here and there, but it's marvellous, and this one particularly makes me smile.
I know Wii U, so I haven't played this one. I mean, in terms of the way the gameplay is it basically a Super Mario game, much the same,
yeah,
right to left to right, and bounce on things and get to the end.
Yep, and down to top, bottom to top, and bounce on things. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but it's really, really good. There is a lot of replay value where there's, I think there's a secret world. There's like there's all the collectibles with coins, like the giant 3 coins on each level. Some of them I've managed to do 1 or 2. And found all 3, but not many. Some of them I can't find. Some of them look almost impossible to get, but obviously it's not impossible. It's a great game, but my good God, is it hard. People think, oh, it's Mario, it'll be dead easy. Nuh-uh-uh. They've changed it up this time. Brilliant for it, you know. And then obviously you've got the DLC, Super Luigi U, which is even harder, apparently.
Yeah, sure. I've read on the internet that the levels are shorter, but they're harder because you get far less time.
Yeah,
all the levels are 100 seconds, I believe.
Yeah, not even, I think it's about 90.
Seems unreasonably punishing, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what? I'll leave that one for
yeah.
now.
Yeah, I say, I don't think he's going to do anything for Luigi's popularity. He's always been the black sheep of the family. And I don't think this is going to do it to really increase his popularity as people get unfeasibly enraged by how difficult his game is. But
yeah, but people love the DLC, apparently.
Mm.
So, yes. But this is Superstar Road from New Super Mario Bros. U. Thank you.
And we draw to the end of another podcast. Has to happen. We can't keep talking forever, I'm afraid. Well, you can. I know. But,
yeah, I was just going to say.
I got stuff to do. So we are going to draw this to close. We've talked about a number of games, quite a few of which we haven't played, either of us this time, so it's not just me. But yeah, we hope you've enjoyed what we've chosen for you, and we will return Pete talking about his experience at Game Music Connect. So hopefully that won't be nearly as long as the gap between the last one and this one, for which we apologise. Real life just kind of gets in the way sometimes. We will be
sickness.
Back. If you want to send us any emails, any tweets, anything of that nature, get in touch, ask a question, just let us know what you think of the games and the music we've played and anything else you want to say. You can do so. Pete at noob@gamer.net, myself Matt@gamer.net. You can also find Pete on Twitter @evilnoob and myself @MattHarrier.
Do come say hello.
Yes, please do. We do like getting feedback from people. We've had a number of nice bits of feedback on Twitter over the last couple of years, for which we are very grateful. We recently had something from was it Flying Tortoise, I believe, is that correct? Who said that people very much enjoy listening to the show, so we certainly hope so. That's why we do it. So that's it. We're going to play you out now with yet again Grant Kirkhope, a very regular appearer on the show. This is from Viva Pinata, featured before. This one is Tranquil Hours, and like all of the music from Viva Pinata, it's lovely.
It's adorable, and Viva Pinata, how can you not like that game?
Yeah, it's kind of adorable, isn't it, really, the whole thing. It's a very cool little game.
And it's crack for your eyeballs.
It does look glorious.
Immense.
It does look.
All those years ago it's been brought out, and like we're talking about going to the next gen now.
It's got a very cartoony style to it, which means it doesn't really age too much. If you go for hyper-realism in a game, it will age very quickly as technology passes by, but you go for something that's a bit more cartoony and just insanely bright, like Viva Pinata, it's not going to age anywhere near as quickly. So it still looks lovely now. So yeah.
One thing I would recommend, actually, is searching out the cartoons. They're really good.
I have not seen this. I will perhaps do that. See if
they're
Netflix.
They're on the Tube of You.
Sorry?
They're on the Tube of You.
Oh, are they? Okay, that's handy then.
Mm-hmm. I accidentally came across them the other day.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Lovely.
Yes, lovely. But I mean, Viva Pinata, there was also a full console sequel, and then there was a handheld sequel as well, wasn't there? Which was a party game kind of thing, which I don't think was quite as good, but the first game I know was incredibly well received.
Yeah, first and second were really well received.
Yeah, and I can't imagine for a moment that it's going to be at all expensive. You'll be able to pick this up for a penny on eBay probably, or Amazon, if you want to buy a pre-owned copy. And even new, I can't imagine it's going to be particularly expensive. It's going to be it's a very old game, so it's going to be dirt cheap, but it's still worth giving a look.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
Because it's not like Animal Crossing or anything like that, where time continues when you're not playing. Whereas this, it only does it when you turn it on, basically. Yeah. So, I like that.
Yes. £10 on Amazon, brand new.
Mm-hmm. I think I bought Trouble in Paradise for like £3 somewhere.
Whether they're $12.49 on Amazon, brand new for Trouble in Paradise. So whether that's indicative of just a lack of new stock, which I imagine it is, but I mean, you're talking sort of £3.73 for the first one and £4.39 for the second one in perfect condition. So hardly a vast expenditure if you wanted just a great little game with heaps of character and charm. You'd be hard pressed to find a better way of spending £4, I think.
No, I know, exactly. Mm. And I think Grant really has captured the mood of the game within
soundtrack. Wonderful, fits perfectly, yeah. So as you've obviously rushed off to your computers and ordered it, while you're waiting for your copy to turn up, or you're waiting to find the copy you already own, have a listen to Tranquil Hours.
Yes.
And we'll see you soon.
Bye. Thank you. smell that one.
Nice. Classy. Classy Pete.
Yeah, that's me. Always the lady. Ooh, the sexy lady. Ooh, 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 ooh.